Our thoughts and prayers are with all the families who have lost loved ones, and so many have lost their homes and some businesses due to the recent tornadoes. London, Kentucky was the worst hit. As I was reading, 19 deaths there, and 7 in Missouri around St. Louis area, and 2 in Virginia. And so there was widespread damage done by these tornadoes. And you know, we need to, of course, be ready to leave this life, because it can happen at any time, as you can see here with the recent deaths. And we do hope that those who are grieving over the loss of their loved one will turn to God and obey His will and receive forgiveness of sins and be added to the Lord's church. And thus, good can come from such an awful situation. Well, as we think about injustice this morning, some will even blame God for the situation, and that's never proper, no matter how bad a situation may be. But living in this world, we see and hear of many injustices, such as children being mistreated and abused and even killed. Slandering and falsely labeling people goes on, prejudices, hatred without a cause, just to name a few. And as you go to the Word of God, you'll see Solomon in Ecclesiastes 3:16, "And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there." When you leave out God, of course, there's going to be wickedness. In Proverbs 17:15, "He that justifieth the wicked, and he that condemneth the just, even they both are an abomination to the Lord." Yes, we can find a lot of injustices all around us. Look at Isaiah 5:20 through 24 with me, as this is like reading today's newspaper. "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justifieth the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossoms shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel." We don't want to be involved in despising the Holy One of Israel, do we? Or nor His Word. Well, this morning we want to study concerning injustice, and we'll continue our study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And again, the initials PFE remind us of the most important thing we could be doing every day. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville, as, yes, sir, we study the precious Word of God in our Bible classes. And then as we come together to worship God in the assembly, we're striving to have a proper attitude, but also to worship God in accordance to the New Testament pattern. Thus, in spirit and in truth, John 4:24. And I can assure you, you will receive a very warm welcome. Something else to mention, if you're interested in having a Bible study, we would love to set that up at your convenience. Just get in touch with us. And if you have Bible questions, comments, positive or negative, send those to us. Again, the address, 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get into our study this morning as we're looking at injustice. And first of all, let's mention this. No doubt you and I have been on the receiving end of injustices and probably will be treated unfairly many more times if we live a while longer. But you know, perhaps we too have treated someone unjustly. Now, let's be honest with ourselves. So, let's ask this question. What does the Bible have to say about justice? Justice is found 28 times. Unjust is found 17 times. And just is found 94 times. God's Word has a lot to say about this subject. Now let's start out with this fact. God is just and His law is just. We need to establish this because again, sometimes people want to blame God when there's a catastrophe, a disaster. Well, with man, there will always be injustices, but God is just. And therefore, with God, there is no injustices. None at all. No injustice, period. In Deuteronomy 32:4, He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. Acts 10:34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Well, that's right, isn't it? And we're not to be respecter of persons either. But so many are, unfortunately. Now, something else to note, God's law is just. Though there be many, sad to say, who do not think so. But you know, God's law is for our best interest. Of course it is. God knows all things, and His law has purpose. Now, man is unjust if he believes that God's actions are improper. Well, look over in Isaiah 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Never, never, never judge God. That's not our place to do such a horrible thing. To judge our Creator. That's like the clay saying something to the potter. Why have you done this to me? You see, that's not right. Well, Romans 7:12, wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. That's right. We will be judged by God's Word, the one true standard. So of course God's law is just. Jesus said in John 12:48, He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Did we all understand that? How can anybody miss it? We're going to be judged by the word of Christ as he taught his doctrine, which is recorded in the New Testament, which the writers of the books of all the Bible, of course, Old Testament and New, were inspired by the Holy Spirit. And this is what we need to appreciate. The word that Jesus has spoken, that's going to judge us in the last day. There is a just standard then, therefore. Colossians 3:25. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. That's what we need to understand and appreciate. Now, let's talk about this. That which God wills to be just. That's right. God wills to be just, as we're going to look at these. God wills for us to use fairness and just judgment with our fellow man. Look at Leviticus 19:36. Under the law of Moses, they were to have just balances, just weights, a just ephah, and a just hin. Shall you have, I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. So they weren't to cheat as merchants, storekeepers today. You know, you don't see much where you had the old balances in the store and you dipped out so much grain or something, you know, and it was weighed. Well, they need to be honest in the weights that are on the balance. So that's still applies today, doesn't it? Deuteronomy 16:18. Judges and officers shall thou make thee in all thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee throughout thy tribes, and they shall judge the people with just judgment. Today we have some judges who want to become rogue judges. Their responsibility is to stay with the Constitution and, you know, interpret the law, not make new laws or not add or take away to the laws of the land, is it not? And so you can see sometimes today there's injustice, even in the courts. Sometimes people are found guilty that are innocent. That's happened. Well, notice in Matthew 7:12, which we refer to as the golden rule, God's will in regards to justice towards one another. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. So we're looking at that which God wills to be just. And we are to appreciate this. God wills for us as individuals to be just and holy by obeying his commands and never seek revenge. Look at Romans 12:17 beginning. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. There it is. That's the right way. That's God's way. We are either just or unjust before God. Matthew 13:49, so shall it be at the end of the world the angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. Will I, Bob Hawkins, be among the just or the wicked? I want to be sure that I'm among the just. How about you? Well, what does our life say? Now, here are some examples of those who were just. Genesis 6, 9, remember, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Had he not, we wouldn't be here today. Matthew 1, 19, then Joseph, her husband, that is, Mary's husband, they were espoused, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Joseph was a just man. He didn't want to embarrass Mary, so he was going to put her away privately. But then he learned, of course, she was with child by the Holy Spirit, and that made all the difference in the world. And then some. But notice Mark 6:20. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man, John the Immerser, and holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. Well, he knew about John the Immerser, didn't he? Well, sad what happened later. But let's go on, because we need to emphasize this. As we're speaking of injustice, but what was the greatest injustice of all? You know, the greatest injustice, how tragic it is to say, is toward God. No injustice that we've ever experienced or known could compare to the injustice by man towards his Creator. Let's go to the book of Acts, as we're going to look at verses beginning here in verse 14 of Acts chapter 3. Well, let's back up to verse 12 to get the context. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk?" This is where the lame man that was laid by the gate at the temple, the beautiful gate, and asked alms. Well, he's been healed miraculously by the power of Jesus Christ in his name. And so that's what is being asked about here. Now notice verse 13. "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go." That's right. Pilate was ready to let Jesus go. Declared him innocent three times. Verse 14. This is the key verse. "But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you," that would be Barabbas, "and killed the Prince of Life, whom God had raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses, and his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." What an injustice. When Jesus was before Pilate, the Jews cried, "Not this man, but Barabbas," John 18:40. How many people today are saying, "Not the holy and just one, but the God of pleasure," little g, of course, or "the God of drugs and alcohol," little g, of course, or you fill in the blank. Whatever someone is worshiping as their God, little g, you see, that's what they're saying, not the holy and just one, but we want this other God, little g. And how many people continue to reject the grace of God because they prefer to live in sin? That's what they want. They don't want to get out of sin and have the blood of Christ cleanse them and God remembers no more the sin once the person is obedient to the gospel of Christ, to be added to the body of Christ by the Lord Himself. People reject that. You know, when Jesus came into the world in the flesh, there was no room in the inn. Luke 2, 1 through 7, you can read about. And how many hearts today have no room for Jesus? But Satan can make himself right at home. Yes, that's what we're seeing with so many who prefer sin over being in the body of Christ, being forgiven of all the sins that one has committed in their lifetime. You know, that's, well, it's just hard to understand how so many people just prefer the darkness to the light. Well, I know before I obeyed the gospel, that's what I was doing. But I'm so thankful that because of a suffering situation, I turned to God instead of away from God and learned the gospel and obeyed it. How many of you can relate to that? Despite all our injustices, God is still willing to forgive us if we will humble ourselves and obey the gospel of Christ. Look at verse 19 here in Acts chapter 3. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Yes. Remember what Peter said on the day of Pentecost to those Jews who cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? He said to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Yes, baptism is for the forgiveness of sins. And so many people deny that. And there it is, plain as it can be in the Word of God. Well, look at Acts chapter 4. And as they speak unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees, this is verse 1, came upon them, being grieved that they talked to people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in the hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And so how many women obeyed the gospel would be even more. And so the point is, those who denied Jesus were forgiven when they obeyed the gospel of Christ, even though they denied Him. But as we close out our study this morning, how should man be just with God? We certainly want to mention that. Job asked this question, Job 9:2, I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith, the system of faith, to faith, that's our individual faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now notice how faith comes, by hearing the word of God. Romans 10:17. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified, Romans 2:13. God has always demanded faithfulness for one to be justified. Hebrews chapter 11 shows this, by faith. You'll see that again and again. we are able to stand justified before God only by the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and our obedience to the gospel of Christ. It has to be God's part and our part as well. Let's not forget that. God's part is certainly the greatest gift of all, the sacrifice of His only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our part is to humbly submit to the will of God and obey the gospel. In 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust." That's us, the unjust. Jesus is the just, "that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Jesus overcame death. He was resurrected by the power of God on the Lord's day, and thus He purchased His church with His precious blood. That was the purchase price, as you see in Acts 20:28. So how do we stand right now, justified or lost in our sins? Well, we need to know, and we can by the word of God. If we're obedient to the gospel, living faithfully, we know that we're justified. But if we've obeyed the gospel and left the church and become unfaithful, we're lost in our sins, just as those who never have obeyed the gospel. The only thing is, it's worse for us if we die lost, having known the truth and left it. That's right. Now, Acts 24:15, "and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust." We'll all be raised if we're in the grave. Our bodies will be raised. Our soul, of course, will come out of the Hadean realm if we're saved and are safe as children and little babies are that die. We'll be in paradise after death, the soul will. But if we're in our sins, die lost, we'll be in the place of torment. But the soul will be reunited with the body, and there'll be a change as you study 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So, what will happen to the unjust? 2 Peter 2:9, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." Are we standing justified before God, or are we guilty of the greatest injustice, rejecting the Christ who died for us? We stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel of Christ. We have to hear the truth, believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, repent of our sins, making a change of wills, make the good confession unto salvation, as you see in Romans 10:9-10, and then to be immersed, baptized into Christ, to put on Christ, Galatians 3:27. And then the Lord will add us to His body, the true church, Acts 2:47, where we need to remain faithful. We thank you so much for listening today.